This morning we're talking about generosity. And the topic of generosity is one that I find important for the believer because God has called us to be generous in all areas of life. But I have here a quote for you from a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot. He was the focus of a movie that was made called End of the Spear or Tip of the Spear, I don't remember. But he was a missionary pilot that was actually killed by the people that he was trying to minister to. The people he was trying to lead to everlasting life took his. So he was all in. He was not halfway interested in what God wanted. He was all the way interested in God wanted. And this quote from Jim Elliot is one of my favorite. He says, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And I think that's good to keep in mind as we talk about this area of generosity, of giving. Because if we're not careful, we'll adopt the mindset of the world around us that says you need to keep all of your stuff. You need to gather more stuff. You need to gain more wealth. That is how you become successful. That is how you are worth more. That's not a biblical idea. Because the biblical idea is that the more you give, the more God is able to bless you to give more. So are we a warehouse where we store stuff, or are we a clearinghouse where we're just trying to get rid of stuff? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't own anything and we should all live like hermits. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we need to have a proper relationship with the things of life. And I don't know about you, but I like that show on television, and you can get it anytime you want to now, the Storage Wars. Have you ever watched that? Yep. I love those guys. It's so interesting to me because they go and they buy these storage lockers. And when they buy it sight unseen. They just get a peek inside. And when they buy it, who knows? They found some pretty weird stuff in there. Well, why are they able to do that show? There's tons of those places. If you were to guess how many McDonald's there are in the United States, you'd think, well, that's a pretty high number. It's about a little over 13,000 McDonald's in the United States of America. There are three times as many storage facilities in America. Over almost 50,000 storage facilities in the United States. Why? Because of all our stuff. Guess what the average price per month for a storage unit is? Got that one off the top of my head. The average price, when you take into account the sizes and all that stuff, it's about $80 or $90 a month. That's a pretty good chunk of change. And the more size you need, the higher that price goes. So we need to have a right perspective of our stuff. The first thing I would like to point out is that we need to be generous in our life in general, but the first area that I would say we need to be generous with is we need to be generous with our time. Our time is the most valuable commodity that we have. There's a man by the name of Robert Morgan, and he has this quote concerning time. He says, "In most church circles, we think of stewardship in regards to money. But time is like currency of a different realm. If money is silver, time is gold. If material wealth can be symbolized by rubies, time can be represented by diamonds. If we mismanage our money, we simply try to make more of it. But there's no making of any more time. When a moment is gone, it's gone forever, like sand through an hourglass. If we squander our money, we're likely to face short-term pressure, which will immediately be obvious to us. But if we squander our time, it leads to long-term loss that may not be readily apparent. Being generous with our time is an incredible gift. I was talking to my good friend Mark Atkinson a while back, and he said how many people on his gas truck route would just love for somebody to talk to. How much of a blessing would it be for people to take 15 minutes and just stop by and talk to somebody? That's a huge blessing. That's a huge investment. That's 15 minutes that you gave of your life to someone else. That's generous. And we should think about our lives not in terms of, well, what's the next thing I have to do for myself? I mean, we have to manage our time and get things done that we need done, but how much of our time do we waste? It was just this week. I was doing something and I said, well, I need to go look up on Facebook. It was over. I was off and clicking, looking, and I don't know how long it was before I realized, why was I here? How much time do we waste? That's mismanagement of our most vital commodity. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. I really believe Satan makes good use of his time. He does a good job now. He is more active now because he knows his days are numbered. He is very, very active in our world today. Just look around. Because he knows he only has a limited amount of time to keep people out of heaven. The same is true for us. There's only a limited amount of time that we have to introduce people to Jesus, to allow them to experience heaven. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, so we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Psalms 39:4, Lord, make me know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am, how brief my life actually is. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's important for us to encourage one another. Because if we're not careful, we're going to be so worried about our own stuff and our own priorities and our own well-being that we're not going to worry about the things that God wants us to do. And we're not going to be worried about what other people around us are doing. If our brothers and sisters are faltering and floundering in life and we don't notice and we don't care enough to ask, I don't think we're making good use of the time God's given us, because we are commanded to encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that we will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. We can make up ways to make sin okay in our life all day long. And we need one another to point out, hey, is that really something that God would want us to be doing? How is what you're doing in this arena match up with what God says in His Word? We need to do that for one another. And if we're not, is it possible that we are allowing each other to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin because we're not taking the time to invest in other people and find out what they need and how we can help them? Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Why? Why should we make the most of the opportunity? Because our time is limited. I read a story recently of a man that was on a bus, and he was just overcome with the need, the direction to preach on a public bus. To just talk about Jesus and that he loves you and he died for you. And the lady that was sitting kind of close to him started yelling at him, saying, "You shut up. You sit down, old man. You don't know anything. That Jesus you talking about doesn't even exist." Well, he sat down. He's like, "Man, I'm sorry. I need to talk about Jesus." And this woman who had a child sitting right beside her, she got up and she started beating on this man, just hitting on him. And the child says, "Mama, don't hit him. He's talking about Jesus." At which point she fell to her knees and started weeping, which was confusing for the man that was just getting hit. He says, "Ma'am, what's wrong?" He said, "My child is mute. They have never spoken before." And at that moment, the reason why he needed to preach was obvious. Because that woman needed to know about the reality of Jesus Christ, and the only way she was going to believe in Jesus was when her child was able to speak who'd never spoke before. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts." We have been entrusted with the gospel. We've been given the greatest gift mankind has ever seen. We've been entrusted with this gift of the gospel, and we've been told to go and make disciples. So we speak. Not so that men will be pleased with us, so that God, who is the one who examines our heart and our motivations, will be pleased with us. We need to be generous with our time, but we also need to be generous with our talents. You know, the person that I think of, and there's many within our church, I'll tell you what, Jesse Kemp, he's amazing when it comes to helping people with his talents. You will not find someone on the side of the road that got passed by Jesse Kemp. He's going to stop and help them. That's partially just availability. But when we have been given a special ability, carpentry or computer work or whatever it is, we should be generous with that gift to help other people with those talents. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." That's an incredible truth to me. That God prepared the good works that we are to do beforehand, before eternity. God had all of these things all planned out for us to do. All we have to do, we just have to walk in them. We simply have to be available. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "To each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We have been given a gift. And this is the concept of spiritual gifts. Every person has been given a spiritual gift. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwelling you has enabled you spiritually, supernaturally, to assist the body of Christ in some fashion. If you don't know what it is it possible you can't be generous? with your talents? Because you don't even know where God has blessed you to be a blessing. 1 Corinthians 12, 5 to 7 says, there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one, every single believer, without exception, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So we have been given a spiritual gift. Each and every person has been given a talent, a supernatural talent, for the common good of the body of Christ. Christ said in Matthew 5, 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How brightly is our light shining? How brightly does that spiritual gift that God has blessed us with able to be seen by the world around us? By our own brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans 12, verses 1 through 6 gives us a very clear description of this whole concept. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. I don't know about you, but when my body doesn't work right, I get kind of frustrated. I think of my mom who just had a stroke, and her left leg just, nope. She can feel it. It's alive. It's healthy. Just doesn't do anything. Is that okay? I guarantee it's not okay to her. What about the body of Christ? Are there parts of the body of Christ that are alive and there? They're just not doing anything? Proverbs 25:14 says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. If we're a Christian, we've been given a spiritual gift. We say we're a Christian and we're not using our spiritual gift, we're like clouds without rain. 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Don't neglect your spiritual gift. If you don't know what it is, I'd like to talk to you and we can help you figure that out. But if you don't know what it is, there's a pretty good chance you're just not doing anything. You're neglecting that spiritual gift. The last thing we'll talk about today is that we are to be generous, not only with our time, not only with our talents, but also with our treasures. James 4, verses 13 to 15, is a great word of advice for the businessman today. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. When it comes to our treasure, when it comes to our stuff, the meat and potatoes of life, do we put that in God's hands? Do we allow God control over our calendar? Do we allow God control over our checkbook? Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you the power to make wealth. You see, we think it's our ingenuity and our strength and our notoriety or power that allows us to make a living and do all these things and go here or there. We're only able to do what God has enabled us to do. Like what He gives us strength to do. 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come from you. And you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Proverbs 10:22 says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. Well, isn't that an interesting addition to that concept that God makes rich? Because there's a lot of people who are rich, but do you ever know some people that are really, really rich and really, really miserable at the same time? Money does not equal happiness. That's what our culture wants you to think, that you're not happy just because you don't have all this other stuff. You just don't have enough money yet. Then you'll be happy. Well, how scary, how frightening, how terrifying must it be for that person who has abandoned every relationship, who has stepped on every friend, to climb that ladder, only to reach the top and still not be happy? That must be horrible. That must be terrifying. He adds no sorrow to the riches that He gives. None of the regrets, none of the, oh, I wish I wouldn't haves. Just a gratitude for what God has blessed us with. Job 1:21 has the proper attitude toward our stuff. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same thing is said in 1 Timothy 6:7, for we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. He who dies with the most toys still dies. We still have the question of what next. You see, that's a good game to play when you're going through the decisions of life is what then? The what then game. There was an older gentleman that was talking to a young man who was kind of an up-and-comer, a self-starter, a self-motivated young man. He said, well, what's your plan? What do you think about doing? He said, well, I'm going to work here at this company. I'm going to work my way up the ladder. And finally, I plan on being the CEO of this company. Okay, what then? Well, I'm going to diversify and I'm going to make some good investments, and I'm going to start a humanitarian effort, and I'm going to help people around the world. Good, good. What then? Well, that's going to take up a lot of time, but I guess eventually I'll probably retire, and I've got some plans on what that's going to look like and where I'm going to go. Good, good. What then? Well, I guess I'll die eventually. Ah, what then? In the face of the grave, all of the priorities that we put so highly in our life look very feeble, very wasted. And we don't want to get to the end of our life and look back and think about all the ways we wasted our time, our talents, and our treasures. James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows." We have an incredible privilege in this nation. We are one of the most blessed, richest, affluent nations in the world. Luke 12:48 says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." When I was young, I had a friend by the name of Frank. And Frank used to tell me how rich my family was. I was like, "What? No, we're just average, lower middle class. We're not." But to him, I was rich because he was wondering where the next meal was coming from. He had a single parent home and was struggling to pay the rent and get food on the table. And to him, I didn't have to worry about where the next meal was coming from. And I was rich. If you ever get a chance to compare our standard of living with that of most of the world, we are rich. And I don't care who you are. By almost any standard, an average American is rich compared to the world around us. I think that we are more responsible because of what we've been blessed with. Now, even more important, what level of spiritual truth do we have access to? What level of time do we have to invest in Bible study? In people. We have some of the greatest resources to know God's word and to study God's word and to hear God's word that has ever been in existence in the world, ever. I think we've been given much, and to us, much is required. The great American dream is not to die with the most toys. It's to be who God wanted us to be. This used to be an American Christian nation. It was founded on the principle of hard work and honoring God as you work, honoring God with your work. That's kind of gone by the wayside now. But we are responsible, and because we've been given much, we are required much by God. 1 John 2, 15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." Romans 14:12 says, "So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." We're all going to have to give an account for all of the time that we spent, all of the talents that we wasted, and all of the treasures that we used upon ourselves. Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." Luke 12:34 says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we should be generous with our treasure, because the real truth about our stuff is that we are either going to love our stuff and use people to get more stuff, or we're going to love people and use our stuff to love people. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do we have the right treasure? Psalms 119:11 says, "Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." The more we incorporate God's word into our life, into our thinking, into our priorities, the more our treasure becomes what God would have it to be, and not what the world tells us it should be. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5 says, "Do not weary yourself to gain wealth." Well, that's opposite world, isn't it? "Cease from your consideration of it." Why? When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. "For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens." You can't depend on money. You can't depend on stuff. It can be gone like that. You should follow the admonition of Christ in Matthew 6:19 and 20. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. The streets are made of gold in heaven, folks. You can't bring anything of value here that's not already there. But what's truly important is not what we can bring to heaven, is who we can bring with us to heaven. Can we influence people to introduce them to Christ so that they will have an eternity in heaven with Him? That depends on how generous we are with our time, with our talents, with our treasure." Good, please. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me today. If you're here today and you would say that you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, that you've never made yourself ready for heaven because you've never accepted what Christ did to make you ready for heaven. If you've never done that, I want today to be the day that you trust Jesus Christ to make you ready. If you'd like to know more about how to know for sure you're going to be in heaven when you die, please come and talk to me. If you're here as a believer and you would say that your priorities have become a little skewed, your values do not reflect what God says they should be, your time, your talents, and your treasures can go to some pretty misinformed places. If I can pray with you about being generous in ways that are going to be eternally beneficial, would you raise your hand today? Could I pray that for you? Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege that we have of knowing that you have come so that we can have eternity in heaven with you forever. But this time that we have here on earth is brief, it's fleeting. And you would love for us to prioritize the things that are eternal, and not the things that are going to be burned up on this world. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to have your perspective on our time, our talents, and our treasures. Allow those that raise their hands specifically to know what you would have them to weed out, what you would have them to prioritize and do differently. Thank you for allowing us to know what you think is important from your word. May we do that. In Jesus' name.